God's grace and peace be with you. So I'm hearing that my mic is cutting in and out. So battery doesn't seem to help or what's going on here. Can you hear me? I'll do my best to rock star this. They have to keep the word in one hand and the mic in the other. There's probably a sermon in that, too. This is one of those lessons I got to tell you when, frankly, I cringe when we hear, I've told you this so many times, the gospel of the Lord, thanks be to God, and I tend to want to go, the gospel of the Lord, oh, shoot. These final words of Jesus, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Beloved, the scribes and the Pharisees worked really, 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 really hard on righteousness. And they were not all hypocrites. We tend to want to paint them that way. And there's some evidence in the gospel that the gospel writers struggled with the communities of scribes and Pharisees, but they were not all hypocrites. And they held righteousness very, very close to their heart. And one of the things that I think we struggle with, beloved, is maintaining a proper balance between our gratitude for God's graciousness and attention to God's righteousness. Sometimes I think we take righteousness for granted. We think that we don't have to worry about it quite so much because God is so gracious. And we are sometimes accused by those outside the faith tradition of not worrying about righteousness at all. And it's a tension in the body of Christ. It's a tension to understand. And Matthew will uphold the importance of God's righteousness because righteousness is a key facet of the nature of God. Our God is a righteous God, and God calls us to righteousness. So what does that mean? Does righteousness being more moral than everyone else, being a better Christian than everyone else, by fulfilling more of the law than anyone else, being a better person than anyone else? Is righteousness the thing you need to have so that you won't go to hell and you get to go to heaven? No. No, those are the definitions of righteousness that Matthew and Jesus want us to lay down. Luther wants us to lay down the sense that our righteousness is something that we create by being a very good person. Because we know that righteousness that we need, the righteousness that we need to enter heaven, the righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, some of you already know this answer, the righteousness that we need comes to us from Jesus in our baptism. It's gifted to us. It is granted to us. That does not mean that we are not to seek righteousness in our lives and actions. That's the part that sometimes it can be easy to forget. So here's the thing that I think helps us understand this. To stop thinking about righteousness as the way you get into heaven, even though we do have to have it, Jesus tells us, but the righteousness we have comes from him. But if we can lay down the idea that righteousness is the thing we need to cover our backsides when we don't do what God wants us to do, the thing that's given to us so that we can avoid punishment, when we consider righteousness to be about us, if we can lay that down, then we're beginning to get close. Because righteousness that God seeks from us is simply living in alignment with God. Living in alignment with God. It is not something we do for our own sake. We don't need to do it for our own sake. But righteousness is what we do for the sake of the reign of God. We've been talking for weeks about what it looks like when the reign of God breaks in. And when the reign of God breaks in, it is a reign of righteousness. It is a reign that calls us into that wholeness that God desires for us. And when we focus on righteousness because we desire the inbreaking of the reign of God, more even than we desire our own salvation, then we're beginning to get it. I think I'm going to repeat that. When we desire righteousness, when we seek righteousness because we desire the inbreaking of the kingdom of God more than we desire even our own salvation, then we are beginning to understand it. That is the righteousness that makes us the salt of the earth, right? The things that Jesus talks about, the city on a hill, and the illustrations that he uses, well, they're a little bit difficult for us to understand because you have all probably heard salt cannot lose its saltiness. Salt is salt. That's what it is. And if it loses its saltiness, then it was never salt to begin with. But on the other hand, what we understand as salt, we receive as a pure thing, but that wasn't necessarily the truth in Jesus' day. And so you could have salt that was mixed with other things. So maybe it was possible for the salt to leach out of whatever that was that people had, and then it becomes worthless. But what Jesus is trying to say is being the salt of the earth is our nature. It's who we are created to be. And I suppose it can get mixed in with other things within us, you know, the righteousness of God and the image of God that is placed within us and the life of Christ, that the light of Christ that is placed within us at our baptism, that tends to get mixed in with other things from this world. And sometimes those other things can kind of overshadow it and make it a little bit harder to see. We can get knocked out of alignment with the will and the desire of God. It's not hard to do. I'm pretty good at getting knocked off course myself. I don't know about all of you, but I struggle to maintain my alignment with the will of God. And so this teaching from Jesus is designed to constantly remind us who we are called to be and who we have been created to be. And it is both a calling to accountability, which is part of our life in Christ. There's nothing wrong with being called to accountability for our baptism. And it is a promise, because we have been granted righteousness in Christ. It's been given to you. You are righteous. You are righteous. And so this calling is to desire that righteousness shine through you. Not so that you can be more righteous than someone else. Not so people will see you and think, what a good Christian. But your righteousness shines through so that people look at you and say, what a wonderful God. What a wonderful Lord this person has guiding their life. What a wonderful piece of good news. What a wonderful gift of hope and strength and mercy and justice belongs to this person because of the love of their God. I'm not sure what they got, but I want some. That's the point of righteousness. And it's not ours that we pour forth. It's not our own light. It is the light of Jesus who loves us. And when that light shines through, and when our concern is for the righteousness of Christ to supersede our own, and the love of Christ to be even stronger than our own, and the goodness of God to be even better than our own, then the kingdom of heaven breaks in. And people will see it, and they'll be drawn to the light. Thanks be to God.